Our guest today is Tom Caldwell. He is one of the heroes, in my humble opinion, the J6 hero who went through hell and went to hell and came back. He wrote a great book called The Mouths of the Wicked, a true January 6th story of corruption, persecution, survival, and victory. And we welcome Tom Caldwell. Hello, sir, and how are you?
I'm doing very well. Sharon and I are enjoying this very brisk day in the Shenandoah Valley. And Ron, it's great to be back on the American Experience with you. And I really appreciate you talking about our book. We've had a lot of really great reviews and a lot of great endorsements, but maybe none so important to me personally and as satisfying as that which comes from you. You've been talking about the book on and off on your program, and it's truly great. A lot of people reaching out to us, asking where they can get a copy of it. And so I'll put in the shameless plug right now. It's available online only right now at bookbaby.com. That's bookbaby.com. If you put the Mouths of the Wicked into your browser, it's the first thing that pops up. Or you can go to the publisher's website, which is Puffin Publishers, Puffin like the seabird, P-U-F-F-I-N, publishers.com, and get your copy. And as you know, Ron, I started working on this book not in the warm afterglow of the victory that we received even in January of this year that finally set Sharon and me free, but I started writing as soon as I was let out of that pit of despair, solitary confinement in a gulag in an awful prison in Virginia, because we didn't know what new dirty tricks the government was going to pull and if the FBI was going to come and drag me away on false pretenses again. So we wanted to have some of the story and some of the facts down before that happened, the unthinkable.
I'd like to ask you, because like I said, in reading the book, you go through a full gamut of emotions and thoughts about people, about the country. You go from hating the country to loving the government, maybe not the country, but hating the government in some ways. Your faith in humanity is really watered down quite a bit. But then at the same time, it exhibits great faith and great perseverance. I mean, my gosh. Before you started writing the book, what was the impetus that made you decide to, you know what, we're going to do this? And as you were fighting through the different emotions and things that you were going through, to even go through all of that again, to put this down into a book?
Well, even Sharon knew, and I certainly thought, well, gosh, you know, I've got the constitutional protections and the Bill of Rights. That didn't mean anything to the Biden administration, certainly not to the DOJ or the FBIers at all, who locked me away and had me tortured. Yes, I don't use that word lightly, in prison for nothing, for a lie. And it was difficult. Thank you for acknowledging that. I tell people, you know, let me take you by the hand and show you what it's like when the government turns on their citizens. And I did wrestle with it as time was going on. Sharon told me, look, this is going to be a long battle. They're not going to give up, even when you show them that you've got irrefutable evidence of your innocence. They know you're innocent, but they don't care. And your listeners should be very chilled by that, because here's a government out of control who says we can take anyone, even the innocent, and persecute them and drive them down. Some people would say, look, you dodged a bullet. Why don't you just go quietly into that good night and go on with your life? Well, I may have dodged a bullet, but then the question remains, shouldn't you shine the light of truth on the gunman who fired the bullet? And that's sort of what we did. And as I went through this, and it took years, your listeners need to know, it took years. And even when President Trump signed the pardons, it did not end. The terror did not end for a lot of J6ers and us too. We had phony civil suits. I mean, I just got off of the no-fly list about a month and a half ago. I mean, all of these things just trying to put together some of the shattered pieces of our lives. But it was important to let people know this is what happens. People say, why did you write the book? Well, because our story is so unique. January 6th, who were put upon, who were falsely accused, who were imprisoned for even longer than I was imprisoned. Nobody wants to put the whole January 6th thing in the rearview mirror more than Sharon and I do. Things were built in this book that they have never been allowed to speak about before. We really didn't have the shackles of oppression against our right of free speech removed until just within the last couple of months. Yeah, it's the story of what happens when a government goes out of control, but it's more than that. And you know, Ron, because you read it, it's a story of redemption. God does work in mysterious ways. In my darkest hours, I had to recognize that my fate lay not in my own hands or anything I could do. It was in the hands of the Lord, the same God that protected a presidential candidate's life by inches in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, because when reading about some of the things that happened to you, whether you're sleeping on a coal slab in a dark room, and it's not even a full-size room by any stretch of the imagination, but how you based upon how you describe it in your book, I just, man, to me, it is a miracle that you didn't lose faith, that you did not give in at all, the way you were kicked, the way you were, the things that they fed you, the type of water. And but yet you had pretty good relationships with some of the inmates in the earlier part of the book, so it seems. And there were those along the way who gave you a glimmer of hope, whether it was someone who brought you a Bible, whether it was someone just a kind word here and there. And it's little things like that that also carry you through, isn't it?
Absolutely true. And there are a lot of things that are going to surprise people in this book, and I'm really putting myself out there. When you do that, you make yourself very vulnerable. But it was important. It was important to take people into every single phase of what we had to go through. And the same God that people talk about at this time of year especially is the one who can really bolster your faith. Faith found me when I was at my lowest and brought me some courage and the right people to come into my life as we went through this saga that raged for years. The right people in my life, and you're one of them, so that we could win against, well, evil. Everyone has trials in their lives, and our story, my wife Sharon and mine, it might be helpful to anyone questioning their own faith and hope, anyone facing the challenges of their life. And even in that I called it an Arctic loss. It was a frosty castle of doom. There were inmates. Inmates know how to talk to each other, how to communicate, whether it's passing notes or talking through the ductwork or something like that. And they will buck you up. I was surprised at how soon after I was thrown into solitary, it seemed like everybody in that prison knew who I was and why I was there. And the inmates were the ones that embraced me.
That's amazing. But it just shows you how God will use sometimes the people you would least expect. And those kinds of situations come at just the right time and gives you enough, let's say, energy, spiritual energy, to tide you over, to get you through the next situation that you went through in the book. I mean, it was just one thing after another, even down to the little tricks that they would play on the telephone when you would try to talk to your wife and then they'd cut it off and then you'd have to call back. You're charged $3.85 for the first minute, and they knew that's what they were doing. And I am amazed that how much you still love this country and everything, because you're able to discriminate the crucial differences and understand that it is not the entire makeup of the country, but it is, you know, I think it's representative of a mistake that we, the people, have made overall. We've been too complacent and allowed these people of destruction to get into government, and this is what you experienced, and we thank God every day that you put this into this book. And Man, you're a hero in my book. Tom, hold it right there. And we'll be right back on the Ron Edwards American Experience.
Listening to the Ron Edwards American Experience. Man, it doesn't get any better than that.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
It was December 25th, 1914, only 5 months into World War I. German, British, and French soldiers, already weary of senseless killing, disobeyed their superiors and fraternized with enemy combatants along the Western Front. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, despite the threat of severe punishment from their superiors, German soldiers held up Christmas trees out of the trenches with Merry Christmas signs. Thousands of troops streamed across a no-man's land strewn with rotting corpses. They sang Christmas carols. And because of the impact of Christ's love at Christmas, soldiers embraced one another who just hours before were trying to kill each other. They even agreed to warn each other if the top brass forced them to fire their weapons again. Generals on all sides declared that spontaneous Christmas-inspired peacemaking was treasonous and subject to a court-martial. By March 1915, the fraternization movement had been eradicated, and the killing was back in full operation. By the time of armistice in 1918, 15 million would be slaughtered. As we celebrate Christmas once again, I look forward to the day when the peace and goodwill inspired by the birth of Jesus will be a permanent gift we give to one another.
I'm Ron Edwards. Check out the RonEdwards.com.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
The Ron Edwards American Experience, the talk show that celebrates America and reminds everyone she's worth fighting for. Join me, host Ron Edwards, and also don't miss a daily page from the Edwards Notebook commentary right here on
K-Star Talk Radio Network.
Liberty Works Radio Network.
VARA Network.
Lancashire's Lighthouse Radio.
KELY.
Liberty News Radio.
LibertyTalk.fm.
Star of wonder, star of mine, star with royal beauty.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Westward leading, still proceeding.
And we're back as we celebrate the season of Christmas and Hanukkah. Welcome, my friends, and this is the Ron Edwards American Experience. I'm Ron Edwards, thanking everyone for joining us today from throughout America and around the world. Our special guest today is Mr. Tom Caldwell. He is one of the historic, in my opinion, historic J-6ers, who was done wrong by the federal government. He wrote a great book called The Mouths of the Wicked, a true January 6th story of corruption, persecution, survival, and victory. And, Tom, again, welcome back. I am, like I said, I'm truly amazed at your book as it fully displays. This thing should be made into a movie or a series. I really believe that, Tom, because it is so well written and so detailed. And to see many of the things that are described in this book, I could see this stuff on video, and I think there would be a huge, huge response to this story.
If we can get in touch with Angel Films or Kevin Sorbo or somebody, maybe we could make that happen. And Ron, you're more than welcome to play me if you'd like.
Okay, I'd have to jump in a little can of paint, but yeah. We could work that out, I guess.
Well, just a little poetic freedom there. We can do what we want to do. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that you thought that I was heroic, and I said, well, look, I really don't feel that way. But you're very kind in your comments like that. All I can say is that sometimes people are called to do something that is outside what they would normally do. And that's what I was called upon to do. So yeah. I don't really know how to quantify what I did, but you know, you just kind of turn to the Lord. And as I said earlier, when I was at my weakest, I'm sorry, the phone is going off. This is the beauty of live radio. I really, really enjoy it. But, you know, you just kind of find something within yourself. And we've talked about the times that I was the lowest. And the book talks about the whole raft of thing, the FBI attacking our farm and putting my wife's life in jeopardy, where I thought they were going to murder her on our front steps. And they came very, very close. All the way through my incarceration, my mistreatment, all the dirty tricks in trial, people will be appalled to find out what was happening in these secret tribunals and all of that. But, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I tell people I'm average. In fact, I'm probably more average than average. And there were times when I was just, as we say out here in the Valley of Virginia, I was lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. I just didn't know how I could go on. And thank goodness I did have a very strong woman, a strong woman of faith, who said, you know what, we're going to fight them all the way. And when I was down, she was, you know, buoyant, and vice versa. And we fought and fought and fought. And I don't know if it's heroism so much as maybe the survival instinct. And the Lord gave us so many miracles along the way. One of the things in the book, and I'll be interested in your perspective on this. You can tell me I'm wrong, and that would be okay. But, you know, I go through so many emotions there that I think I make a pretty compelling argument that God is alive and God is with us. And I try to answer the question that so many people have, and because I had it. And I had it at 3 o'clock in the morning when I couldn't sleep, and my life was in jeopardy. Remember, they had no evidence that I had done anything wrong, but they wanted to put me in prison for life. They controlled the media block. They controlled the judge. They controlled it all. But I said, why doesn't God answer my prayers? And many people say that. If God were alive, if he were real, why doesn't he answer me? And the way I found out was, by staying in faith, I learned that he heard immediately. He knew what we needed. And the Bible is filled with stories like this. And yet, his timing is not our timing. His compassion for his people is the same. His love for us is more than we can possibly imagine. But in my personal situation, he had to do a work in me. To make me from a bad guy to a good guy. I was a good guy. I was innocent. I was an innocent victim in all this. But we have to learn patience, and we have to learn perseverance, and we have to develop our character. And the most important thing for me is to learn how to forgive. And people who are listening to this broadcast are going to say, how can you possibly forgive people who lied and cheated and stealed and enriched themselves on your broken body? And I say that was the hardest thing I had to learn how to do.
Speaking of learning how to forgive the almost unforgivable, it's funny you mentioned the secret tribunal. I had just turned to that chapter, and in it on page 211, where it talks about how it says, you said, I never brought firearms into the district as the DOJ had claimed. I never entered the Capitol building. I never battled with police. I never climbed over or moved barricades. I never conspired with anyone to break the law. I broke no laws, yet you were treated worse than most criminals are treated to this day in New York cities who are actually guilty of things all the way up to rape and murder.
And that's startling, isn't it?
Yeah. It's startling that it is true in a country such as this. What say you?
When you find yourself a target of a despotic government, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the institutions of man mean nothing. You are guilty until proven innocent, instead of what we'd always been taught. It's the exact opposite. Truth and innocence didn't mean anything in my case, and in the case of so many J6ers. And, you know, we proved at court all of those things that you just kicked off. We proved that all the things that were said in the media and all this stuff. Remember, the media sent around the world the fact that I was the mastermind of J6. It was all my fault. You know, we proved all these things were phony, and yet we were tried in a secret tribunal, and the jury was selected from a jury pool of people who had voted 95% in the presidential election against President Trump, against conservative values, and against Christian values. So we really felt that we did not have even a puncher's chance. Your listeners might be interested to know that the Department of Justice was 65-0 until they took me to trial. 65-0, guilty on every single count against every defendant that had the temerity, the unmitigated gall, to try to go to a jury trial in Washington, D.C. Now, I was tried with four other people who were members of this group called the Oath Keepers. I was not a member, but they're not a white supremacist group or anything like that. They were kind of a regional and national community service group. They're the ones that kind of go in there and help when there's been a flood or there's been a tornado or something long before FEMA gets in there. That's what they do as an organization. But when we went to trial together, because they tried to tell the world that I led the Oath Keepers in an attempted overthrow of the government, we had no chance. The deck was stacked. And yet, how does one explain not guilty, not guilty, not guilty for all of these conspiracy charges with which I was charged? How could that happen? The Lord did a tremendous work, and he allowed through, you know, my testimony, Sharon's testimony, and the skill of our plucky attorney, Mr. David W. Fisher of Glen Burnie, Maryland, proved that all these things were phony, even though the government withheld evidence from us, wouldn't let witnesses testify, would not let us show the government's own CCTV, which exonerated me. So how did we win? I believe the Lord had his hand on it.
Obviously he did. You are out and you are alive and you are recovering your life with your wife. And that's the beauty of all of this, that the Lord does take care of his own. But sometimes when you're going through it, it seems like you look up and say, Lord, why are you just watching? And that's what it seems like, and I get it. We're going to continue in conversation with Mr. Tom Caldwell, the author of the great book, The Mouths of the Wicked, a true January 6th story of corruption, persecution, survival, and victory. And Tom, I want you to hang in there. We're going to bring you back after the break, and we're going to be talking more about your book and about a few other things I might surprise you with as we continue on this, the Ron Edwards American Experience.
This is Sally King from Wealthwave. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Ho, 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 ee, coming down the chimney with the sack full of toys. Girls and boys, find on Christmas morning.
Do you seek inspiration? Do you think your story can make a difference? Pick up a copy of On the Call, On the Wall. This book will make you laugh, make you cry, make you feel hope. Life matters to God even when we think he may have abandoned us. Read the testimony of my life. I share my pain and my victories in Christ. I learned trust under the most adverse of circumstances. My dad said, a lesson earned is never forgotten. I paid well for the faith developed in me, and I'm forever grateful for the mercies afforded me in that experience. God will bring you through, and he deserves the glory for it. Read today On the Call, On the Wall.
Now available on Amazon.
Packages packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-884-8375. 800-884-8375. 800-884-8375. That's 800-884-8375.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons at PatriotMusic.com. If you share my passion for the simple but timeless principles that made our republic great and you like rock music, check out my 5 albums and videos on American history at PatriotMusic.com.
You say gun control is using both hands. I've got to be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the damn UN.
Is your portfolio up over 1,000% since the year 2000? Let me ask you that again because it sounds a little shocking. Is your investment portfolio up 1,000% in the last 25 years? If you would have bought $10,000 in physical gold in the year 2000 and left it in your retirement account, today that same $10,000 would be worth $125,000. Gold is more stable than stocks and bonds. It's never been worth zero. It stands up to most political and economic ups and downs. It stands the test of time. If you're in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, put your money into the most secure investment on the planet. Call the Gold Hotline right now. Let our experts help you.
800-401-8180. 800-401-8180. That's 800-401-8180.
I can tell you, we need more like yours.
The Ron Edwards American Experience, a charter member of the emerging new mainstream media.
Is not the biggest, but your voices and actions are. So don't give up.
Silver and gold, silver and gold, mean so much more when I see. Silver and gold, decoration on it.
Ron Edwards, American Experience.
And we're back. I'm Ron Edwards. Thanks for being with us this day. Our guest is Mr. Tom Caldwell. He's a J6er, and he wrote a great book, The Mouths of the Wicked, a true January 6th story of corruption, persecution, survival, and victory. Tom, you know, you did have a lot of spiritual help in during your struggle when you were going through what you were going through. It was a group called the Zechariah 2:5 Prayer Warriors, which I am a member, and it's headed up by my wife, Denise, and we were praying for you every single day. And man, oh man, oh man. So, and we weren't the only ones, we know that, but just wanted to let you know that you've had our support, we've had your back through prayer on a daily basis, and man, oh man. We thank God for your victory. We thank God for the book that you've put together. You know, some of the details are a bit irritating. In your chapter about the secret tribunal, why don't you share with us about what that was about, and in your own words, of course, and man, oh man, what say you, sir?
Well, that was a particularly awful time. It was about 10 and a half weeks altogether. And as I pointed out, there really wasn't any evidence that I had done anything wrong, hence the words from Psalm 109, the mouths of the wicked, kind of, the book named itself, if you know what I mean, because there was nothing at trial that was offered as evidence. It was only this oh, this never-ending diatribe, this stuff coming from, just spewed from this fantasy canon of the prosecutors. And we need to talk about why the prosecutors would do things like this and what they did, in much the same way as we see in the media played out even now. You find out that when people say things that leftists don't like, those people are decried again and again as liars or racist or whatever. It was the same in this trial. The DOJ lawyers pulled the same stuff. Even when they themselves withhold, hide, forge, and even delete evidence, they accuse the targets of their wrath of having destroyed evidence. That's why there is no evidence, because we must have destroyed it. I think I said in the book, because I believe this, every accusation they make is their own confession. It's sort of like the old playground game of somebody insults you and you say, I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? It's just like they make all of these accusations and yet they're really confessing to their own sins. It's not up to me to provide absolution, but I can certainly point out how they did all of these dirty tricks. And, you know, people ask me, well, how would you solve the system? How would you fix all of this? Well, one way is to remove the cover under which they operate, which is called absolute immunity. I'll bet most of your listeners are not aware that the lawyers of the Department of Justice at Main Justice in D.C. and throughout the 94 regional areas across the country can do whatever they want, obfuscate, bring in witnesses, suborn perjury, make up false evidence. They can do that, and they do that, not just against me, not just against other J6ers, but they've done it forever. And they do that because they know that they can never be taken to task. They can't be sued civilly, and they can't even be removed from their jobs because of this thing called absolute immunity. Interestingly enough, the judges have the same thing. Now, recently, this has been supported by the Supreme Court. This has been challenged because people say, look, there's got to be some consequences here. And we see it again in our daily lives. These people, lawyers and prosecutors that let repeat offenders, people who step across the line all the time, habitual line steppers, they let them out of prison. They cut them slack. Judges don't go forward, give people a slap on the wrist when they do go to trial, and most of the time, they're just throwing the bad guys back on the street to prey against regular citizens. Well, when the government and DOJ decides that they want to go after you, they do the same thing, and they know that they operate in a consequence-free environment. One of the big revelations that I think you probably found in the book that I will share with your listeners right now is, did you know that in every one of those U.S. attorneys areas that I just described across the country, all right? In Virginia, we got the Eastern District and the Western District of Virginia. Those are two big ones. That the senior U.S. attorney, called the U.S. attorney for that district, has a special slush fund of money, taxpayer money, and they can award to their assistant U.S. attorneys cash bonuses for guilty verdicts, even if the people are not guilty. Those cash awards being up to and including $1 million for a guilty verdict. Now, that's a bold statement, right? Tom, how can you make a statement like that? Well, it's a very secret kind of thing, but you know what? When I was a contractor, long before this thing happened, I actually worked for the most crooked part of the Department of Justice. It's called the Executive Office of U.S. Attorneys. They're located on 7th and E Street Northwest, and the parking's in the basement. It costs me $16 a day to park there. But I'm the guy that wrote the code for the electronic computer-generated reports that showed the status of those monies and who got them by week, by month, by quarter, and by year for every one of those 94 areas across the country. It would touch the Oracle database overnight, and serve up to management on their desktop computers the refreshed report. I wrote it, and I can prove it. So I know where the bodies are buried, and when I found out that revelation, it just cut me to the quick. I couldn't believe it. And when I talked to the head of that department there, I said, well, what happens when you get up to the limit of the money that you have assigned that people can give away? to these attorneys for doing whatever. They said, oh, well, we'll just go back to Congress and we get more money. After all, most of the congressmen and senators are lawyers, aren't they? Ha, ha, ha. The system is so rigged against the people, Ron, it is maddening. And this is just part of the stuff that's in this book, which I hope people will find engaging, enraging, and maybe encouraging and inspirational, too. This is the kind of stuff that goes on in the dark where people can't see.
Well, I highly recommend the book to folks. And it's one of those books that when you sit down to read it, you keep going. There's no let up in the book. Some books, it's up and down, but this book it's like a thriller all the way through. And then you find out some very interesting details about the government and how evil things can be when evil people are in control. And that's what it's all about. There are people that are in the government that, for instance, in Colorado, Tina Peters, she's going through it right now. For no reason other than the fact that they're angry because she actually did her job and found fraud in the voter process in Minnesota, and she's in jail because of it. Not because she did anything wrong, but because she found wrong, and it's like a how dare you moment. Well, you have just a few seconds, Tom. Do you have a couple of seconds? Maybe you'd like to give a short prayer for Tina Peters.
Absolutely, and you know, we hope that Tina can be released. You know, the president mentioned her at a press conference yesterday. I know that a good Christian man has been out there, his special envoy, if you will, to go out there to find out what's really going on in that prison and whatnot. And there's a gentleman named Ed Martin. Ed Martin was supposed to be the new U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, but the forces of darkness blocked him from actually being in that position. So the president created a new position for him. We're very hopeful that Tina Peters will actually get some justice, finally.
Amen, Tom.
We pray that the Lord
right
will
now, we're at the end of the program, and now that I see that my time is up, thank you so much for your time, folks. We urge you to pray for your nation, your friends, your family, and even your enemies that they get it right before it's too late. Treat others the same way you want to be treated. I'm Ron Edwards. Until next time, Excelsior!